Paul, a bondservant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledgement of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which was committed to me according to the commandment of God, our Saviour. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour. For this reason, I left in Crete that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for the sake of dishonest gain. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to the book of Matthew. We're in the Sermon on the Mount, and one little verse for us this morning, and it's verse 37. One verse, and there are three profound truths that we want to bring from it. Here's the verse. It's simple as this. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these things is from the evil one. I would like us for a moment just to chew over this verse, of what it speaks to us and reveals to us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it tells us about ourselves and the great need that we have and a problem in our lives. I'd like to show you this morning of the great beauty and the simplicity and the glory of the Christian life. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, for anything that is more than these is from the evil one. We live in a world, do we not, which needs to know this verse, a world which is filled with falsehood and lies. We live in a world where we know of the trouble that has taken place simply because of lies. Perhaps you did see on the news this week of those atrocities which took place in Manipur in North India. We've had missionaries come from there to this church. And you saw of those women who were gang raped and mother and child set on fire in a van, and the great, you know, terrible things which have happened. And you know how it began. It began with a lie. It began with a falsehood among the communities in which they lived. Lying is expensive. It destroys people's lives, destroys reputations, destroys communities, destroys nations, as we see on this continent. And I want you just to hear for a moment, if you could only just hear what the Lord Jesus Christ says to his people when he says, let your yes be yes and your no, no. That the Lord Jesus who came into this world is one who's got a great interest in truth, because the Bible tells us he's got a great interest in words, because the Bible tells us in the beginning was the Word. He was the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And he was full of grace and truth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is as plain as the nose on one's face. When Jesus spoke about who he was, he never spoke in a kind of way that you couldn't understand. He spoke to us very simply and very clearly. When you read in the way that he spoke, it's very direct. And when the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And you can understand that. And you know that you couldn't be mistaken in any shape or in any form. The Lord Jesus Christ made those claims. And it was someone who actually was before the Lord Jesus Christ, a famous philosopher called Plato, who said this, that there would be one who would come and would speak the truth, and that men would hate him. He spoke those words 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. And this is what he said. And if someone were to come into this world to speak the truth, he would be scourged and tortured and bound, and after all the suffering, he shall be impaled and crucified. What a prophetic statement, even by a philosopher. You read there in Proverbs chapter 8 that the Lord Jesus speaks even before he came into this world. And you need to know something about him. All my words are pure and righteous, and there is no deceit which is in his mouth. And when you come and you read these very words this morning, very simply, just to reveal to you who Jesus Christ is, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, surely you can hear that. And you can say, look, there's someone this day who's concerned for truth. Someone who's now taught people how to speak truthfully. That the Lord Jesus Christ has a great, you see, understanding of what we need in this world today. And when he says that, there's something, hopefully, that you could take, because he speaks to us always candidly, always straightforward. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I would have told you that. And I would have given it to you, and I would have said to you. And you can say, when the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, he speaks like no other. It was James who said that anyone who then speaks and is perfect in word is a perfect man. Now, every one of us knows that we're not perfect. But the Lord Jesus Christ, what you'll find is this. You come to him this morning. You test his words. You hear his words speak to you. You'll find that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world today, they're words of truth. They've been tested many times. We've sang that hymn. False and full of sin I am, but thou art full of truth and grace. And if there is anyone here this day who has lived their lives where people have told you all the words you wanted to hear, and lied to you through their teeth and through their lips. And someone has told you they love you and they care for you and they'll be with you. And they've promised you great things and they've told you great things and what will take place and what will happen. You've lived your life on people telling you a pack of lies. You have lived your life in such a way, listening to the falsehoods of others. Could you not, for just this moment, hear him? Hear him. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. And when Jesus says these things, you know that they are true. You take that verse that we looked at last week in verse 18. For as surely I say to you. Or in other versions, truly, truly I say to you. Or in that Greek, as it's written, the Amen and the Amen. What I say to you will be. And when Jesus Christ says to you, you come to me and you can have everlasting life. You know it's true. When Jesus says to you, you come to me and one day you'll be with me, with my Father in heaven for eternity. You know for sure it is true. And when Jesus says, you come to me and I will love you with an everlasting love, you come to him and you'll find that his words are as true as with a clear light, with a total sincerity, an utter purity which is found in him. And when he comes and he speaks these words, he is speaking these words, obviously in the context, to his disciples, because he is telling them and teaching them on the Sermon on the Mount of how he wants them to be. In the Sermon on the Mount, you have that Christian manifesto, and he wants his people, and he says, because listen, he is the one who is the God of truth, come into this world. He is the one who now wants to show them that is a way that they should live. No porky pies, no fibs, no white lies, nothing deceitful in your mouth, in your dealing with others. It's vital. It's absolutely needed because you're going to be dealing with the gospel. And the gospel we're going to be dealing with, we're going to tell men and women that God has come to this earth. One has died for their sins. One has risen again. You're telling men and women, there's a heaven, there's a hell. Let me say to you, it's all true. And you make sure there's no falsehood in your little words, that when others that you've talked to that put some shame and some stigma and a big question mark upon the reality and the truth of Jesus Christ, because of the things you've said and the promises you've made and the commitments you failed. And let your no be no and your yes, yes. Anything more than this is from the evil one. Now that shows us surely this morning that you've got someone who's really concerned. In a world of pokey pies and lies, someone for truth. And then also, just straight into this, is that it tells us, does it not, something then about ourselves? Not very simply, because what happens is that he's revealing something to them about speaking with a forked tongue. And the problem that obviously they've been taught, there was something they were brought up with about swearing oaths, when people promise and you can say certain things. And what happens is this, is that he needs to remind them. I know there are those, you see, who can carry, you know, the truth in their hands, but the truth is never on their lips, even in their daily dealings with one another. And it's a great problem, and it causes a great offence to the things of the gospel. And what he does now, he wants to show them that they're going to be different. That if you're a Christian and a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be a way that you're going to live which is going to be different in how you're going to speak and relate to people, which is going to be an example to others. Now, I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm sure I'm going to this morning. and I'll try and speak the truth in love as much as I can. But if I do be straight with you, one of the reasons why the closest in your family, your friends and your neighbours, don't come and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ is because of the lies which you speak, the promises you make, the decisions you change. They know you. They know that if you say you're going to do something, in a hair's breadth it could be changed. They know that if you committed to something, it means very little to them. They're with you. They see you. They hear you all the time. You're preaching to them the gospel. But in every little moment and little situation and commitment that you've made, you know that there'll be a flicker and it's all changed. With that, there's that big question mark. Now, look, being part of a church and being part of where I am, you know, you have to listen sometimes. Well, I don't know what to call them, reasons, excuse. If I just share with you, I do have some fun in the ministry. And it may be perverse, but one of them is the excuses that people make. And one or two I've actually written down. They've been so good, I've said, and I go home, you got to listen to this one. You need to listen to it. And it comes, and yet these people may be Bible believers. Well, I'm ill today, but I'll be better Wednesday. That's a good one, isn't it? I know, oh, you know that. And then you've got, I remember the COVID experiences we had. Sorry, Chris, I can't watch over Zoom because it's not safe. And my bank balance may be robbed. Okay. Well, why don't you come to the open air? I've got hay fever. Why don't you come then and sit up in the gallery? Frightened of heights. Why don't you come down and sit in the pew? Dust. Why doesn't someone just say, well, perhaps I don't want to come. Or perhaps they're frightened of coming. But you see, in the very lives that we live, has a great effect. And the tragedy is of those which are nearest to us, those which know us, they know that whatever we say, our word means little. And it is vitally important. That's why I read to you this morning from the book of Titus. And you say, well, what was all that about? And there's a need for it this day. The Lord Jesus Christ knows this. Especially when you're living in a world of fake news. Do you realize out there are people who can't trust anyone? They don't trust their banks, their politicians, their doctors, their closest. They are got a testimony to live within this world in which we are. And what happens here in the book of Titus is that there's a little island, as you know, the island of Crete. But the problem with the island is this. The island is filled with fake news. It's entered into the island. Actually, it's the psyche of the people. That's why I read to you in verse 12, even one of their own prophets said these words. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts. And then in verse 13, this testimony is true. And Paul says, I can tell you that what you've got there is a society, a people who've ended up dealing with one another in such a way you cannot trust. And not only that, you've got those who've come in who claim to be Christians, teaching other things, fables, false doctrines, they're in. That's why he comes. And he begins the letter to Titus. And he says, look, according to the faith of God's elect, the acknowledgement of the truth, as he tells us in verse 2, in the hope of eternal life with God, who cannot lie, underline it as he writes this letter to them. Make sure that they know there's a God who is in heaven. It's impossible for God to lie. And Titus, you are my true son and faithful, and you're steadfast in that doctrine. No matter what you do, when you sort out that church, make sure for one moment that you put in that place those which will be upstanding and blameless and committed to the truth, because they're going to have to deal with people in their figments of their imaginations and the lies that they've got. You need it. And in anyone's life, you may be gifted, as you may think. You may be the evangelist, the open-air speaker, the preacher which is in the front. But I can assure you now, you may have the gift of Dr. Martin, but no one is listening to you, because throughout the week, every commitment you've made has been broken. Every promise you said to someone hasn't been kept. The reasons may have been fantastic. And you may even kid yourself. And the only one you'd be kidding is yourself. And he says, you're going to have to be someone of truth. It's vital. Because this gospel is dealing with the one and the only reality. Whatever your worldview is about today, this is it. It's the one concerning Jesus Christ. Now, I know that perhaps someone will say, well, come on, that may be a bit harsh and it may be a bit too much, but listen to what Jesus says. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. The white lie, that broken word, that incredible excuse and reason which is given, you may not realize it, but it's from the evil one. And when Jesus comes then and teaches them to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, remember that one of the prayers that we are to pray is that he would deliver us from temptation and deliver us from the evil one. And you say, well, how am I going to be delivered from the evil one? Well, there was an evil one, and he does exist. And when he came into the world, Jesus Christ says this, listen, he is the father of lies. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's the one who put the seed into Eve. What happens is this, is that in the world in which we live, you may not realize it, but anything which is more than your yes and the more than your no is from then the evil one. Now, what he does here is this. In these verses, he's highlighting, you know, two little problems that they're confronted with. There's the problem, you see, of oaths, and there's the problem of the sheer spiritual jargon. What he wants is sincerity and truth in our inward parts. Now, you know what happens is there's been a command which is given, and you can find it there. I think it's in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 12, where you're not to swear, you know, and use the Lord's name in vain. And so what took place is that people would come, and then they would say, well, they could swear then on heaven, and they can swear by earth, and they can swear by Jerusalem, and they could swear by these other things. You know, we live in this world, don't we? Listen, all this, anything more, the promises, cross my heart and I hope to die. I swear on my children's life. Do you know, I have stood there and knowing that the person who has said that is lying through their teeth, but never mind, just in that moment, they'll swear on everything. But then the jargon which comes with it. Are you coming here? Let me pray about it. Are you going to do that? See what the Lord says. Look, leave it aside. Can't you just say yes? Can't you just say no? Can't you just be committed to one's word for once? And the Lord Jesus says, you be very, very careful. Because anything more than this, it ain't from me. Doesn't come from my kingdom. It comes from another kingdom. And that kingdom is one which is filled with lies. If there's anyone here this morning, and we all can know what it is when he tells us, don't you swear by your head, because you can't make one little hair black or white. And we know in our lives that we're not gods and there are things that happen. But we also need to know that there is this where people know that person there is a person of their word. That person there you can depend upon, you can trust them. When they said something, it's going to be carried through. And if not, you know, they must be in hospital. Something serious must have happened. Something's taken place. Now look for a moment. I'm just going to ask you to think of this. We're coming this morning before the true God who cannot lie. Whatever else we may be pretending about in our lives, do you realize that truth in the inner parts is utterly vital in our relationship with Him? There are things perhaps we have said which are not true. And you know what to do. You can come to Jesus Christ and you can say, forgive me. There may be a pattern in your life, and this is the serious bit, where you say you'll do something, you don't. And it's on a weekly basis, a daily basis. And your husband and your children and your wife and your friends, and they hear it. And I tell you now, there's one who wants to destroy you. There's an evil one in this life. He wants to bring you down. And you have to come to God and you have to say, I tell you, my life needs to change. Although I may think this is fine in this area, the standards which He gives to His Christians are another ball game. And there are those of you which have come into your life and you've made such imaginations in your head. Only the blood of Christ can come and save you and cleanse you and deliver you from the evil one. And you're trapped and you've got you. See, this verse tells us and reveals to us something about the nature of Jesus Christ. It reveals to us something about the issues that we've got in our lives. Can I say to you this? It shows us and reveals to us something about the beauty and the splendor of the Christian life. Let me describe it for you. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Just think of it. The sheer simplicity of this. That how Jesus wants you to live your life. I know that in other versions, like the NIV, it says, well, make it simply like this. Simply say yes or no. And there's a wonderful beauty in simplicity. I mean, you know, those of you who do home decorating and you look at these kind of magazines on how to do something with your house. I know a few years ago there was a kind of trend which came in. Japanese simplicity. You know, nothing was cluttered. Everything was straight and minimal. And there was a beauty in it. I'm saying to you this morning, there is a beauty in the life that Jesus Christ wants to give you this day, which is as clear and as simple and as attractive that anyone could possibly know. And it will stand out in the world in which we live with a double talk and deceit and everything that we've got. Sin is complex. Sin is never straight. It's always some kind of, you know, here, there, you don't know where to begin. Don't you ever watch those programs where they bring someone in for questioning the police? They know they will get them because they'll stick to a story, but at some moment, at some time, that story will change. Being not straight, lying in our lives, not being committed to our word, always ends us in that place. It's never nice. You know that yourselves. Think of the days you've wasted. Think of the trouble and anxiety you've brought to your heart. Think of the stress that you've got because your dealings with others and the things that you've said have not been true. Think of the things that you promised and then you've done something else, but it's never given you that satisfaction. Think of all that what is taken away from you. Jesus Christ has only come into this world. He's come to give you life. He's come to deliver you from your bondage, from the evil one. He's come now to release you from that life, you see, which is fake. He's come to give you a life which is going to be true and to stand out. That's what Jesus Christ has come to do. Now I want you to think of that in your very experience. The gospel this morning isn't a gospel of maybes. See what one can do. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Do you know, if that enters into your life, the very day in which you live today will be happier, less stress-free, more determined, a greater purpose. Could you imagine that when you go from this place and you say, what am I going to do today? You say, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do those things I promised to do and said to do. And when you start tomorrow for the week, you say, what have I got on this week? I tell you what I've got on. I've got those things I said I was going to do. And I promised I was going to do. Do you know that will give you a freedom in your life that perhaps you've never really experienced? You may be living, saying a Christian, but the testimony is something far different. Look, there is a power to this life, the Christian life. There is a purity in this life. Let me describe it to you. There is the life which is of the evil one, and that is filled with everything that is not straight. There is now a life which is of the kingdom of God, the power of God, which Jesus Christ has come to bring you. When Jesus Christ comes into your life, he says, this is the kingdom. You say, but how can I, perhaps something will happen. There are things which can't work out. I know that life is not in my control. You do this. You say to Jesus Christ, I have said my word. I have given what I've told someone. You say to Jesus Christ, I have come and this is now, I wish I hadn't said it. This is going to put me out. It's going to cause me expense. I could be doing something else. I could do all those things. But Jesus Christ and his kingdom and his word and his testimony in your family, in your community, they know it. Is it that they've already clocked you off? Don't worry about it. We've heard it all before. There's a power which comes from Jesus. You say, Lord, this is not what I wanted to do. My big mouth has put me in it, but I've said it. I'm going to do it. And help me to do it. May that be a testimony for you. Can I be candid with you? And I'll be straight with you. This is what the Bible says. This is what it says. No liars shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you hear that, do you? No liars shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's a no. Definite no. When he says no, it's no. You say, who can enter the kingdom of heaven? Look, if you know today that you need to come to Jesus Christ, he is the only one that can save you, and you can come to him. If there's a pattern in your life, no matter what you sing, what you proclaim, what you hold in your hand, I assure you this, one day there is a no. There is a no. My kingdom is yes and amen. Do you know that? And those within their lives, you say, look, Jesus Christ wants you to have a life which is filled with a purity and with a peace and with a straightness which does give great glory to his name. Do you know, being here this morning, I hope that you'll go home and you'll think of something like this. Do you know, that service was very straightforward. I want you to say that. I want you to go home this day and say, that service, well, there was no great kind of massive claims. There was nothing perhaps ostentatious. It was very simple in many ways. But there's a power in that, isn't there? A power in just the simplicity and in the truth. There's enough in that verse to tell us that God has been speaking to us this day. Do you know, I don't think I've had such silence in a service for a long time. For a long time. God speaks to the deep things in our hearts. Just listen to what he's got to say.